We welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers. We gather today to honor, to remember, and to celebrate the amazing life of Audrey Brown. Rise up, O flame, by thy light glowing. Show to us beauty, vision, and joy.
We're doing a responsive reading. You can turn to page 527 or consult your program. The subject is immortality. It is eternity now. I am in the midst of it.
It is about me.
In the sunshine, I am in it. As the butterfly in the night-laden air. Nothing has to come, it is now. Now is eternity, now is the immortal life.
Good afternoon. This is Eagle Poem by Joe Harjo. A little feedback here. I hope that's not bothering people. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And no, there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know, except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like Eagle, that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky, in wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we were born and die soon within a true circle of motion. Like Eagle, rounding out the morning inside us. We pray that it will be done in beauty. In beauty. Thank you.
Across the morning sky, all the birds are leaving. But how can they know it's time for them to go? Before the winter fire, I will still be dreaming. I have no thought of time. For who knows where the time goes? And who knows where the time goes? Sad deserted shore, your fickle friends are leaving. Ah, and yet they know it's time for them to go. But I will still be here. I have no thoughts of leaving. I do not count the time. For who knows where the time goes? And who knows where the time goes? And I am not alone while my love is near. And I know it will be so until it's time to go. So come the storms of winter, and then the birds in spring again. I have no fear of time. For who knows how my love grows? And who knows where the time
goes. Thank you to Swell and Peter for the beautiful music. It's adding so much. I'm Karen, and this is Jenny. Our mom encompassed warmth, welcome, inclusion, and love into her relationships with family, friends, and strangers. She loved people. Her goal was to create a comfortable home where everyone would feel relaxed, welcome, and well-fed, and she did it splendidly. She was an excellent cook, crafting delicious and creative meals. One of her favorites for company was Mongolian hot pot, where the two electric woks would be on the table with broth bubbling away, and with chopsticks, guests would each add the meat and vegetables they wanted. such a fun community eating experience. She welcomed Dad's colleagues and graduate students, some of whom became lifelong friends, into our home as part of the family for meals and holidays. She was interested in their home countries and cultures, and this probably sparked her journey into international cooking. However, she also loved old family recipes. Once a year, for many years, Mom made a huge roaster pan of mock turtle soup, which was her grandmother's recipe and a hometown Indiana favorite. She was delighted to enjoy a bowl of turtle soup last fall at her hometown church's bazaar. She declared it not quite as good as hers, however.
In a funny sort of way, food was a kind of symbol of Mom's growth and the development over the years. She spent many hours learning how to prepare dishes from a variety of new cuisines, including Chinese, Indian, Italian, and Japanese. And she once told me that her secret to excellent cooking was to follow the recipe to the letter. And just as Ted was working in his chemistry laboratory with precision and exactitude, so too Audrey was working in her laboratory. And only after she had mastered a dish following the written recipe would she begin to tinker and adjust to suit her discerning taste. And on reflection, I think this illustrated a kind of respectful attitude. She owed it to the writers of those cookbooks to learn it their way first, and later to bring her own modifications to bear.
At the churches and organizations she was part of, both in Illinois and Florida, she was an active participant in committees, boards, religious education, and welcoming new members. Not only did she immediately greet new guests to help them feel comfortable and included, but as she got to know people and their interests, she found ways to help them use their talents and gifts for their own fulfillment as well as the work of the community.
Our mom was a gentle but effective communicator. And when I was a kid, my chore was setting the dinner table each night for our family of seven. And Mom, you know, she could have simply said to me, "Jenny, set the table," or "Time to set the table, please." But that's not what I remember my mother saying. I remember her saying each night, "Jenny, would you like to set the table, please?" And I will admit, you know, there were some nights, especially if I'd been busy with homework or playing, when I badly wanted to say, "No, Mom, I would not like to set the table." But of course, I never said that. I always set the table. And I think there was something about the way Mom asked me to do it that over time made me think that I actually did want to do this. That it was my little contribution to the family's functioning. She made it seem like a choice. And over time, by doing this thing, I guess I demonstrated to myself that I was choosing to do the chore, that I actually would like to do it. Now, another classic Audreyism was that she rarely said no when we asked for things, right?
Yeah, so for Mary and me, it was, "We'll see."
Yeah. By the time I came around, my brothers later, the answer, if it was a yes, right, it was an enthusiastic yes. She was all in. But if Mom had to deny a request, she usually said, "I don't think that will be necessary." And it was such a strange phrasing when you think about it, because many, probably most of the things she said yes to were also unnecessary. But my theory is that she was sort of leaving the door open even when she was saying no. She was suggesting that if we should somehow demonstrate necessity, she might change her mind. And she wasn't being unreasonable. She just required some evidence and argument. You know, and I bet I can count on two fingers the times I actually managed eventually to show that what I had asked for was necessary. But maybe those two cases actually prove the point that she was open to discussion. Her mild manner and peacemaking nature did not prevent her from speaking her mind and standing up for her beliefs. She had courage and grace. It may be easy sometimes to underestimate the challenge of raising five children, the eldest born in 1952 and the youngest in 1966. But Mom managed this large number of kids and wide range of ages with what seems in retrospect a kind of magical balance between the good of the group and attention to the individual. Now, many people are good at one of those things, but not the other. They may be effective with organizations, but any one person in the organization feels anonymous. Or they may make each individual feel like $1 million, but they're so attentive to the individual that they get sort of scattered and distracted. They can't get anything done. But our mom did both things. And this balanced quality as a mother, I think, was also reflected in her engagement outside our family and the world of our family, with church groups, community organizations, or book groups. She understood the purpose of the group, and she cared deeply about the individuals who were a part of it.
What a gift it has been to have her as our mother, as her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren strive to emulate her passion for life, social justice, inclusion of others, and unconditional love.
In Blackwater Woods by Mary Oliver. Look, the trees are turning their own bodies into pillars of light, are giving off the rich fragrance of cinnamon and fulfillment. The long tapers of cattails are bursting and floating away over the blue shoulders of the ponds. And every pond, no matter what its name is nameless now. Every year, everything I have ever learned in my lifetime leads back to this. The fires and the black river of loss, whose other side is salvation, whose meaning none of us will ever know. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes to let it go, to let it go.
Well, now you've read about her, you've heard about her, and we've celebrated her. I stand before you, her firstborn, a daughter, the one on whom she first practiced the art of parenting. In this place where our mom celebrated her faith in community with so many of you, I want to tell you what I understand to be her faith story. It says so much about who she was and her legacy to all those who knew her. Much of Audrey's religious journey would be familiar to Unitarian Universalists. Many Unitarian Universalists have traveled other faiths before they come to this place. What might be unusual about our mother's religious life is the depth of the Roman Catholic tradition from which she emerged. By the way, I have a cousin in the audience here who also was raised in that community, and I'm sure he can attest to what I am about to say. The place my mom was born was and lived until she married, Oldenburg, Indiana, was a German Catholic village with three church spires, all Roman Catholic. It was home to the formation of Franciscan priests, brothers, and nuns. The only school for kids was Catholic. The only high school in the village was a Catholic academy for girls, run, of course, by the nuns. The majority of the real estate in the village belonged to the church. The hours of the day were told by bells that told every 15 minutes and banged loudly 5 minutes before Mass began, just to be sure you were not late. Most families were large and offered at least one priest or nun to the church. Ancestral aunts were buried in the nuns' graveyard. Cousins were priests and nuns. Of our mother's 6 siblings, only she and a brother initially married a person. The rest married the church. Her father, who lived to be 97, attended Mass every day, and on All Souls Day attended each Mass offered continually throughout the day. In Oldenburg, we said the rosary on our knees after supper in the evening, the Stations of the Cross on Friday nights during Lent, attended processions on feast days. Oldenburg was an enclave of old world American Catholicism. It did not seem to rush enthusiastically to the reforms of Vatican II, but Mom did. She enthusiastically embraced reforms in modes of worship and the roles of the laity. She spent countless hours participating in religious education programs. As her firstborn, I had the dubious privilege of starting out in pre-Vatican traditions, steeped also in the rituals of the church, and came of age during a decade of social activism, cultural change, and rebellion. My earliest battles for liberty and expression were between my mother and me. Although our conflicts would eventually migrate to my fashion and recreational choices, they started with religion. I don't believe that stuff anymore. Religious ed classes are irrelevant. I no longer get anything out of going to church. I can only imagine how our mother still committed heart and soul to the growing of a Roman Catholic faith that was responsive to all, felt a certain desperation and anger as she witnessed her eldest child reject it. Religion was essential to our mother's sense of self. Yet, she chafed that women's roles were suppressed by her church, that clergy were not allowed to love whom they pleased, that rules and regulations must be followed at the cost of personal conviction. With like-minded Catholics, she explored progressive, even radical Catholic theology. And with the support of her best friend, our dad, Ted, and her friends, found her voice to probe and question church authority. It took sympathetic courage to challenge the traditional Catholic dogma that was bedrock to her family of origin. Audrey unapologetically forged and communicated a faith journey out in the open, even with her siblings. 25 years later, it led her to a set of religious principles without dogma. When she finished her bachelor's degree in religious studies, Mom kept her eyes and ears open for a way to apply it, and heard through a friend about the director of religious education job opening at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Urbana. Mom had friends there, interactions over the years through her social action work, but she was still a Roman Catholic. It's a tribute to how that congregation lived its beliefs and principles that they saw what they were looking for in that Catholic, and how prescient of them to bring this searcher into their community. My sister Jenny has insightfully pointed out that in a way, Mom really was married to the church. She fully engaged with it. She worked hard to make her marriage with the Roman Catholic faith succeed, but this partner was not going to change and grow with her. Within 2 years of work in the UU Church, Mom knew she wanted to be a member of that church, not just an employee. And as she has throughout her life, in the Catholic Church, Mom poured her heart and soul into her Unitarian Universalist faith and commitment. Much of the allure of any church is the hope you will find community with like-minded people. Our mom's experience of immersion in the UU Church invited me to test those waters myself when, at 50, I moved from rural Iowa to Columbia, Missouri, where there is a thriving Unitarian Universalist congregation. My membership there educated me about Unitarian Universalist beliefs and principles. These encourage, even demand, the individual to practice personal freedom with responsibility. And from here out, in my words, I will be drawing upon the Unitarian Universalist statements of belief. One of these asserts, "The ultimate arbiter in religion is not a church, nor a document, nor an official, but the personal choice and decision of the individual." I think this was Audrey's core religious belief and fundamental in her choice to be a Unitarian Universalist. With other UUs my mom believed, there is no fundamental conflict between faith and knowledge. She believed religion plays the best role in a person's life when it opens hearts and minds. Audrey Brown was a woman who held on to joy, to optimism, in the face of tragedy. She resonated to the UU belief that if the mind and the heart are truly free and open, the revelations that appear to the human spirit are infinitely numerous, eternally fruitful, and wondrously exciting. Her faith gave her freedom to learn, expand, and develop herself. The fruits of that touched everyone who knew her. She appreciated and accepted you. She believed, as the UU state, in the worth and dignity of each human being. For UUs, this isn't a yes, but you have to believe what I believe in order to be completely accepted. We believe that no idea, no ideal or philosophy is superior to a single human life. Her unconditional love for her family, her commitment to every person she befriended, and her convictions about social justice were sincere and consistent. I'm guessing if you knew her at all, you feel more valued because of it. Whether or not, like me, her influence led to this faith, everyone who knew her received the gift of that faith in the way she loved. Thank you.
The first Sunday of this new year, Audrey caught my eye after the service and I asked, "How are you?" She smiled, she shrugged, not wanting to discuss the details. I remember her sweet, soft smile. And then the very next Sunday, I'm reading the order of service listing Audrey as an usher, but I don't see her. And then I hear the announcement of her death, which occurred only 2 days previously after the printing of the Sunday order of service. Despite whatever health concerns she may have had right up to her last week, ushers were needed, so she agreed to serve. That's so like Audrey, reliable. I first met her when my late husband and I joined this congregation in 2006. At that time, Audrey was serving as chair of the membership committee, along with Barb Boynton, Phyllis Brewer, Audrey Potter, Chris Rosa, Suzanne Zimmer, and Lucy Wistrick. I soon got to know Audrey better when we worked together on the membership team in planning sessions to coordinate the many, many tasks. Audrey was absolutely conscientious and diligent, adamant about the importance of serving our potential and newer members. And she was a gracious hostess for the annual service auction fundraiser once. Audrey and Ted offered to serve an authentic Mexican dinner in their high-rise condo overlooking Bonita Bay. The bidding was so competitive, they were persuaded to add several more seats than they'd originally planned. I think they wound up serving 26 of us, a wonderful sit-down meal, and we had a wonderful time. Audrey and Ted must have been exhausted, but I think they did it again the next year. To prepare my remarks, I consulted others in our congregation. Some are longtime members in the 15-plus group. That's longevity of membership in this congregation. I quote, "Her opinions on church life were always respected. I look forward to Audrey's smile and giving me a hug. She was very committed to Unitarian Universalism. She often had a thoughtful remark in a supportive way. She exemplified love for all that we can appreciate and admire. She was a devoted friend, sweet, kind, loving. She will be very missed." And the last quote, "The last Sunday Audrey was in church, she walked up to me and gave me a nice compliment. Not only is it a nice last memory of her, but also fitting to the type of person Audrey was." Oh, dear Audrey, I am so grateful that your life touched mine and you so benefited our congregation. We will miss Audrey, but hold and cherish the memories and the lessons that have been learned. Now we'll sing "Spirit of Life."
Thank you.
Following the benediction, you're all invited to a time of refreshment and fellowship, a time to see some photos, a time to share more stories. And this will be in Hobart Hall. If you go out, turn to the right. May we stand for the benediction. Go now in peace. Go now to live your life fully. Go now to serve others. Amen.